have, then she received the answer. The Amish and Lashmay Dain, the Vitnik, the Mini Master Parade, one of them, the Rosh Ravi of Otsay. Okay. So, I mean, I just want to understand what's the purpose of it, and what can you learn from this? It would seem really, in terms of the unraveling of the story, it just simply is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. I mean, where is it? Yaakov and Esav and the different personalities and the story unravels without this little incident. Now, what does it mean? I mean, I still remember as a kid, I was taught the Rashi. when she went by a Matna Barzala, she then Asa wanted to come out, she went by a shul, and it's just many shuls out there, but Chazal, as a matter of fact, said, the three A's here, the Vachi, how you bought the Messias, but I am, and bought Medrashus? But even as a child, it didn't make much sense. it sounds nice for a child, but it still sounds funny. I mean, these two embryos are fighting when they, and when she goes by a specific different place. Yeah, what are Chazal trying to explain to us, and what is the pasuk really trying to teach us? Yeah, I mean, you know what we try to do is, I mean, try to unravel the method of limud of the Torah. The Torah teaches us ideas concerning a person's life, of course, but also concerning the Hashgacha as well. So the question is, what is to be derived from the psukim? First of all, I mean, interestingly enough, you see that you have this holds about the relationship between man and wife. I mean, you see that you have this hold, even though it's a very close bond, Yahadis maintains that there's a certain, there's always a certain distance between, there has to always be a certain individuality, personality. The person must always retain their individuality, and the romantic situation doesn't swallow up the individuality of the person. And that's today's philosophy. Here you see clearly, that Rivkah didn't even say a word to Yitzchak about it. But Pelech Lidre Shesarashim was her own problem, and she didn't want to share it with Yitzchak. She didn't want to discuss it with him, and she went to another shame, basically, shame, whoever. But the Ramban says means she was misfollowed, but it was something that she didn't want to share with him. It wasn't like in today's society, the idea of a marriage is that everything must be shared together. Everything must be shared. This is not the idea of the Yahadis. The Yahadis maintains that it's not a subordination. Some people have the idea the Yahadis has a subordination of the wife to the husband. This is not true. But she didn't discuss it with him. That's what she said about him. And she went on her own. This is her own thing. She said again. Yeah. But whatever it is. I mean, let's see a sort. I mean, that's the same idea. It means that the individual is not lost in the romantic situation. Today's philosophy is just based on the emotion. The emotions of a person is to share everything. That's the emotional. The romantic situation, the philosophy about today's ideas of the romantic situation is really based on simply a regression into the childhood state. Okay? But that's not what Yadis maintains. Yadis is there are emotions, and the person the person must satisfy their emotional needs, but it must be done with a certain maturity, with a certain reflection of chokhmah, not just simply indiscriminately, just to give into your emotions. That's not the way others hold. No matter how, even in a marital situation, there's only one being that the person is always intimate with. That's a kodesh. That's what I mean. That's the only relationship that is all inclusive. But the relationship between husband and wife is not one which is all inclusive. There are things that are shared, but there are also things that are not shared, and each person is an individual, and not necessarily the best thing to share everything and every experience and every bit of information to share with a spouse. That's not the ideal of Yahadis. It's the ideal of today's society, that's the philosophy of today's world. As I said before, it's simply based on emotional regression and satisfaction of the instincts, but it's not based on fact. Yes. My point is like this. There were reasons, obviously, that you didn't share it with him, but no matter what the reason is, the fact is that the Torah is laying down, is presenting for us an ideal, and that ideal is that you don't share everything. I mean, that's what it's stating, basically. She had reasons, of course, whatever the reasons are. But you see that there are certain times when there are certain reasons that for those reasons, your relationship with the one spouse's relationship with the other is not to be used in a way that one can't deal with the situation without the other one. I mean, that's what the Pasuk is saying. Yeah, there were reasons, and I agree with it. That she knew somehow that she couldn't share with him. But that's what the Torah is saying. It doesn't mean, that's exactly what even true. I mean, it's a carry of Roman, Sarah, individuals. Okay, what I'm trying to make you aware of is, you see, people think that they're not philosophers, but the truth of the matter is that a person is into philosophy 24 hours a day. The only question is, which philosophy? But a person has to be a philosopher because a person has to do things based upon their mind, and the mind has to make a decision. The only thing is that the decision that we're making is based upon the input that they're getting, that they're receiving from the world around them. That's the philosophy. That's today's philosophy. So here you see clearly that the today's philosophy of what the romantic situation should be is completely opposite of what Yahad just described. That's what I'm trying to think. Okay? Understand, you have to understand. I mean, this has deep psychological roots as well. Because today's idea of a friendship or a romantic situation is where the self is lost. See, where the self is lost. That's not the idea of the others. That's a weakness of the personality. The ego is very weak, and it needs the other party in order to give the ego strength. So therefore, everything must be shared. But in Yahadis doesn't have that kind of a concept. Yahadis, the model for Yahadis is a strong ego, healthy ego, strong ego. But the ego chooses to share with another individual, but the self is now the lost. You see, it's a different psychology. As a matter of fact, Yahadis maintains that the ego of man is never lost. Even when he's confronting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what I'm saying? Am I in the chain of a sifra shek asafra? Because if the ego is lost, if the self is lost, then there's zero. Even if a person is talking with God, he still isn't from Avinu. Chalil alacha me'asas kadav razah. The ego is never lost. If the self is lost, then there's no function of the human being. These are the ideas of the primitive religions, and the man-made religions hold to think that man is all they're trying to do is to prostrate themselves before their gods and to gain favor in their eyes. That's all they're trying to do in order to say their existence. But that's not the idea of Yahadis. Yahadis never, if the individual is lost, then even Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means the person is gone and he ceases to function as an individual. That's not the idea of Yahadis. Anochi Yofaveka does not mean that. It does not, it's not an emotional Anochi Yofaveka. It's an intellectual. It means to say that when a person truly reflects on what he is, then the conclusion is he is in reality just like he appears physically, just a speck of cosmic dust. I mean, nothing. That's what it means. That's what it means. Person reflects on it. You see, the very same individual who said "Vanochi afa ve'efa," he said "Chalul lo." He didn't alter "Vanochi afa ve'efa," but "Chalul lo chamas es gadavar zed." It's the very same individual in the very in the very same monologue. I mean, he has the both ideas. They're not mutually exclusive. I may be afa ve'efa, but my mind does not understand this. How could you do this? The amazing thing is that the whole concept of anivus is a distorted one. Because the truth of the matter is that where the self is emotionally lost, that's precisely where you have the biggest gap. So it's a paradox, but it's true. And the other way, where the person knows what the self is, then you have the biggest anivus. It is true that way. As a matter of fact, why don't you quote the first pasuk? The very first pasuk spells it out beautifully. Eseloezer Kinegdo. Kinegdo. Kinegdo means it's an Azer, but it's Kinegdo. It means it's another individual, and there is a mutuality, and there's assistance. One assists the other. One complements the other in a very significant way, actually, when you look at the Torah. In a significant way. But but it's not a loss of the self. It's not a loss of the self. That loss of the self, let me put it this way. The natural emotional trend, which is really the philosophy of the society, is not what Yahadis prescribes in the marriage situation or the medical situation. It's not that definitely is not what it is. That's just a fallback on emotions. But it has to be intellectualized. The person that has to get these chachman is a different kind of experience. It's a different kind of experience. As a matter of fact, the individual who retains his or her individuality is in a position to give more than the person who has a loss of ego and is simply can't exist without the other individual. That's just complete. It seems like on the surface, it seems like that again is the contradiction. That person would be able to give less because that person is really very demanding, but in a hidden way. But the demands are very—they really aren't. They can't give because there's no self. I mean, it has to be a self. It has to be a God. Us. The yisod of our religion is Torah Shabbatah. That's what that. And it's not Torah Shabbatah. That's why they made a kindness when they the Tigam Ashurim, the Sefer Din. Because our whole Masorah is a Masorah that tells us that you cannot approach Torah Shabbatah without the basic elements and methodology of Chazal. And in our methodology in Chazal, we know when the psukim are critical, then there's a methodology that teaches us that there's a criticism. If it's not critical, on the contrary, it is really telling us that this is the proper method. These psukim are not critical. None of our Chazal interpreters is critical. The contrary, did the right thing, according to Chazal. So if you want to say, you want to make your own interpretation, then you shouldn't be contradictory and just simply want to just say you don't accept the whole Torah. I mean, it is a contradiction to accept part of, to accept something and say that which you like, you're going to accept. If you don't accept the base of Chazal, then there's no basis that the whole transmission of the whole, then there's no accuracy to the transmission. So then the whole thing is not accepted. So the modern thinkers are incontrovertible. Yes. I mean, you can't be, in other words, a person like that that's exactly what the Goyim do. I mean, the Goyim do the same thing. They wanted to start their own religion. But they had no, there was no authenticity or credibility to their religion. They knew they wouldn't get anywhere else. So they said, the authenticity comes from the Jewish religion, but the Jews made a mistake. They interpreted it wrong, and this is really what it means. And Yisrael means us. I mean, this is the lie and the deceit, and it's something which anybody with intelligence will see is patently false. That's the same exact thing we're doing. There's no difference. Once you're going to tell me that the whole transmission is unreliable, so the whole story is not out. When there's no criticism, the Torah tells you mightily of us, and mightily of us, that means that this is the model to which to look up to. That's the whole system of Torah. What exactly took place in there? Well, what else do we need to learn from this? So, first of all, what does it mean by Yisroh Tzor Abonim B'Kibah? It's a strange thing. By Yisroh Tzor Abonim B'Kibah, what do Chazal mean when they say that, of course, the Chazal are explaining ideas, they're a muscle, that one was attracted to others, all was attracted to okay. Yeah. Actually, I mean, Vateyach Midrash HaSad Hashem means she saw something unusual when was going on. Why did she go? Something unusual. What is unusual? There's an interesting chazal, a medrash, that says on the pasuk, the pasuk says that Yitzhalev Adam Raman Ura. So chazal tell a story of Rebbe and Antoninus. Okay, Rebbe and Antoninus. Now, Rebbe and Antoninus were having an argument. He said, when does the instinctual life, begin? Interesting thing. So Rebbe said it begins before birth, even the embryonic stage. And Antoninus said no. He says he thinks it begins, an instinctual life begins the moment of birth. Okay? What exactly, I mean, it doesn't mean that this, it means to say, no, it's the essence of instinctual life. When is the first moment when the, of course, this, by instinctual, it can't mean something that is done, instinctual in the sense that we understand it. So Rebbe thought it starts from the first moment, and Antoninus thought it starts from birth. In Machlokes in psychology. So Rebbe agreed that Antoninus was right. He said the pasuk is a proof to Antoninus. Why? Because he said that the pasuk creates a lev adam ram in yo'urov nishemina lotzeis mi beten imav. So you see, there's a qualitative change at birth. Apparently, the question was: is birth simply a progression? In other words, is spiritual life begins from the first moment and it progresses? And there's no change, there's no change that takes place, it just keeps progressing throughout. That was the position of Rebbe. Logical position, why should he be there? Well, the most modern people probably would be Rebbe. But Antoninus said no, he held that there was a quality, at birth there's a qualitative change. Okay, there was a psychologist who had the whole thing, the birth problem. First one means that at the moment of birth there's a qualitative change, not just a continuous line. So Rebbe said, if you look at the psukim, you'll see that Antoninus is right, and he withdrew from his position. But he wasn't listening. He withdrew. Antoninus is right. So based upon that, you see, we could understand what it means by Yisroh Tzor Abonim B'Kibah. What was unusual by Yisroh Tzor Abonim B'Kibah was that she sensed that in this case there was like an instinctual force that was beginning before the time of birth. As if, as a matter of fact, the argument of Rebbe's argument, Antoninus' argument was that if you're going to say that the instinctual begins the year before, he said the child would not be able to contain himself in the embryonic stage in the womb. I don't know if that or not, but that was one of the point that he mentioned. By Yisroh Tzor Abonim B'Kibah seems to be really what Antoninus was saying would happen if the instinctual life would begin before. So basically, by Yisroh Tzor Abonim, that's what she noticed was unusual. That's what Chazal mean when they say that one was attracted to Avodah Zorah, and one was attracted to Torah. What it means to say was that she sensed somehow that in this case the instinctual life was beginning before the time of the church. Okay, there's something unusual. He swears to say, I've done it before. Okay? So, that's why the Pelech Ligrish is at his hand. Okay? And then it says, what does it say? The other one says, Shnei Goyim Bivitne. So the Chazal says, Shnei Geyim Bivitne. Two great people. Well, who are the two great people? Antoninus and Rebbe. They were great, great, great people from two different, umas. So, what does Chazal mean by that? First of all, you see, the representative, this of course, how do you understand this question? You have to understand, first of all, why did it take place? Obviously, it was an act of Hashgacha. It was an act of Hashgacha that it took place. We have to understand the objective of the Hashgacha, but we also have to understand that the way the Hashgacha works is always in line with ideas. Hashgacha doesn't just work in a way that's completely removed from any kind of knowledge, any kind of understanding. But it takes certain themes and it enhances them. But the themes are ones that are in existence, not strange kind of happening. Okay? Yeah. What's the idea of Yisrael Rabbanim and Shnei Geyim Bivitneh? First of all, what it meant was, you see the pasuk, La'om Milam Yemas. I mean, very psukim, La'om Milam Yemas. What does it mean? Which will be greater? No, you see there's two forces there. La'om Milam Yemas. One will be greater. Which one? It doesn't say. So that's what Chazal say. It means that they're both. But it depends on the situation. Sometimes one force is more powerful, sometimes the other force is more. La'om Milam Yemas. Yeah. What it means is like this. First of all, what it means is, that according to Yahadis, in greatness, there is always a tremendous amount of energy. Tremendous amount of energy. So any kind of greatness. Esav was a very energetic individual. He wasn't a person who is a low energy person is not a cannot be a great person. And Yahadis identifies Gadlus HaOdom with a tremendous amount of psychological energy. And that's by Yisrotzitzu HaBonim B'Kirba. Shnei Geyim B'Vitner from these two great people. It means to say that these people were high energy individuals. But the high energy, is there is a high energy of the question is why does Antoninus Rebbe, of course. Why didn't it say Shnei Geyim B'Vitner for Esav and Yaakov? It's interesting. Why is Antoninus Rebbe? But basically the individuals that were involved actually was, of course, Esav and Yaakov. And it means to say that these two people were individuals that were remarkable and unique because they were able to focus their psychological energies. That's the Gadlus HaOdom. That's Gadlus HaOdom. It's an interesting thing, but Yahadis even recognizes, even in a Russia, a certain type of Gadlus HaOdom. Interesting. Not just an ordinary person. And that's why Yahadis maintains that even a Russia can be converted to becoming a great tzaddik. Interestingly enough, you see that the whole idea of Yitzchak, what was Yitzchak's mistake? Yitzchak's mistake was he recognized Esav, it wasn't just he recognized Stama Russia, Stama nobody. He saw great things in Esav. He was a powerful conqueror, a brave warrior, a person who was able to bring about his means, what he wanted to happen, he was able to bring about successfully. Very successful person. That takes chachma, that takes energy, that takes a certain personality and a certain godless order. He recognized those qualities. The mistake that he made was that he thought that Esav can work in harmony with Yaakov, and he'll supply Yaakov with all the physical means, and even open the Talish Manish Mani arts, and Yaakov to sit and learn. I remember one thing, there was one person that said he likes the Torah, he says, but the one thing he told me, he told us, how could Yitzchak say that? You know, the answer is very simple, because when it came to covenant money, that was supposed to be Esav's realm. Yaakov of Yishtam, Yisrael Olam. That was his cousin. The Birkas Avram, he always kept the Yitzchak in the end of the parasha. Okay? I mean, Yitzchak always kept the yacht at the end of the parsha. Yitzchak always kept it. But I mean, he never was going to give away the biggest of home to Esau. Okay. But it's interesting. Kol ha'gadol mechaver Yitzchak gadol emeno. It means to say that Yahadus recognizes a certain kind of a personality, a great personality. It's a dangerous thing because it can go this way, it can go that way. I mean, it's something which is godless or Adam is something which is very precarious. It's not easy to control. But that's the philosophy and psychology of Yahadus. Interestingly enough, the Yitzchak's vision was Mekuyim, actually. And two people much later, that's an Antoninus and Rebbe. So that's why Chazal made the reference to Antoninus and Rebbe. Because over there, his idea really came true. Shnei Geim did come out. Yitzchak wasn't completely off. There was the potential that Yitzchak saw in Esav did exist. And Antoninus, as a matter of fact, as Chazal said, Antoninus, it was a great secrecy that Antoninus had such a close relationship with Rebbe, and he used to kill his dogs every time he went to... What? Mishamash used to send him... Yes, correct, that's right. Because Mishamash Rebbe stepped on him, and he was stepping on him to get on his bed, yeah. He wasn't, I mean, he was still there. It wasn't exactly the picture of a Rahman, I mean, but basically, he was a person that utilized the potential that Yitzchak Avinu saw in Esav did come about later, generations later. That's an interesting thing. Yahadus, it's a certain psychology and a philosophy of Yahadus that, I mean, we never really went into very much. We touched on it a few times. But Yahadus maintains that there are individuals in a nation that become the prototype of the nation. That's how stuff is Yahadus. All the brachas are seen by the king. Don Yodin Amo. Every one of those brachas, Chazal point to certain individuals throughout Tanakh, which means that the philosophy of Hashkafas Yahadus is that an individual sometimes embellishes captures the form, the tzura of the Ummah. But an Ummah means a certain configuration. A certain profile. That's why the pasuk says about Gaon of Pravda. The pasuk says by when Yaakov said to Yosef, he said that Goyu Kahal Goyim Yiyem in Mecca, or Melachim Echal Atzecha Yeyetzera. So Goyu Kahal Goyim. So who is Goyim coming from Yaakov? I mean, okay, you can say about Rama, Yisrael, Ezer. Who from Yaakov? Yeah, but Chazal say it means the Shvaka. Because each shaver has a specific, unique characteristic and profile. And there are certain individuals that at certain points in history be embellished, become those people, that those people are actually the nation. Those people are the nation. That's Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus was Esav in his most perfect form. So Shnei Geim Bevitnia. Yitzchak wasn't completely wrong. He was wrong in the specific case. I mean, the idea was right. So the Yisrotitzu Abonim Bekirba was unusual, and it was certainly something that was an act of Hashgacha, but it worked along the natural line. It was two individuals of great energy, and it was also a violation of the instinctual preceding birth. That was what was unusual about it, but it wasn't, as I said, when the Hashgacha takes place, it doesn't do just crazy things, it does things, it's Hashgacha, it's innate, and it's something which is an intervention from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not, the interventions are along the lines of the natural law, and there's something can be derived and understood from that. That's why he sets up Bunny the Kid off by telling him to say nothing. But of course, the question is, why? I mean, the what of the situation you could define. The what is it written? Why was it so? Why did it take place? The answer is obvious. The answer is because apparently this knowledge that Richter gained of all of religious information was extremely important. She had to have the formula. In other words, when she raised the children, Yaakov and Esau, she had to know. She had to know in advance. It made a difference in the way she related to them. But she had to know in advance the difference. Rav Yavod Soya. She had to know in advance the difference between their characters and how she should relate to them. This was important. That's why it happened. And so it's a point in the Kibba, the beginning of the Sedra, is very, very much tied to the end of the Sedra, which has to do with the Brachas. With the Brachas, it's clear. I mean, it means to say that sometimes an individual, as great as she was, but in this case, if she didn't have the knowledge from Nevuah, she wouldn't be able to perform properly as a mother with regard to her two children, and recognizing in advance the difference between their nature, between the individual natures of Esau and Yaakov. And she was the one for whom it was important to have that knowledge. Not Yitzchak. Because as Chazal said, I mean, the Avos, what did Chazal say? That the Avos knows Melamed the Ben Torah. That's a different thing. That's a different kind of a Melamed. But the mother is important, because the mother is the one that trains the child from early youth. And is like the Rav said many times, really the aim is also a Rebbe. The aim is also a Rebbe, because the mother raises the child, the most important, the formative years, those are the most important years, the early years. You know, we hold this, in the first moment, the instinctual begins right away. And you see from the Moshe Rabbeinu, that was extremely important that Yocheved be the one that raises Moshe Rabbeinu from early youth. It wouldn't have been Moshe Rabbeinu if it was given over to Bas Parah. So Yahadus really believed very strongly in the importance of the aim and how she relates her attitude. The very attitude towards the child is really something that really molds the character of the child. Extremely important. That's what Yahadus really emphasizes in these children. This was an unusual case, because ordinarily a mother would treat both children equally. I'd give them a normal response. She had to have the foreknowledge. Couldn't wait until experience would show her. She had to know in advance. Because the way she related to each child had to be based upon this bit of information which was given to her through the Marian of Or. That's what the Pasuk is telling us. That's what a Chazal say, that the mother, when they were pregnant, would stand outside the Beis HaMedrash. I mean, it means to say, what Chazal means to say is that Chazal emphasizes the importance of the early training, the early training of the child and the attitude of the mother towards the child. Here was an unusual situation. You had to have one mother that encompassed two different attitudes. There was one child one way and another child another way. That was important. That did not take place. If she didn't have that information through the mind of her, she wouldn't be able to produce a Yaakov and Esau. Okay. But the main idea is, the central idea is that it was something that was unique, that was unusual, and she saw that this is an act of Hashgacha, and she has to find out why. Why is this happening? I mean, the basic thought in the pasuk is that since it was something which was a Yotzei Min HaTeva, so therefore she knew that when something is Yotzei Min HaTeva, it's not normal, it's an act of Hashgacha, so she has to find out from another what is the meaning of this act of Hashgacha. Okay? That's where the nitziv comes in. That's where the nitziv comes in. That she knew that this is not the kind of information she could share with Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak's personality would not be able to accept he would not be able to handle the situation properly. If he thought that a Russia is going to be Yitzchak was really was Ola Tmima, it means to say, as I mentioned, it means to say that the, what happened to him at the Akeda affected him for the rest of his life. He was Moser Nefesh. He gave up his life in the highest possible form, means with great chokhmah, and he perceived his own death. And because of that, his relationship to the to instinctual life and to life in general was never normal. Was never the same. The Akeda affected him permanently. So therefore, that's why he could not perceive. Yishus was something that he was unable to perceive. And she knew that he was that kind of a person. He was an Ola Tmima, and he could not be. It would not help him because basically, her function. She recognized from the Nevuah first of all that the purpose of the Nevuah was that she, as the mother, should know how to raise. Not a question of Yitzchak. Yitzchak's function as an Av, it wouldn't have affected. Of course, if it was information that was necessary for him to have in terms of raising the children, then of course she would have to convey it. It's painful to raise it. If the information were such that he had to know this in order to raise the children properly, then of course she'd have to convey it. It's painful as it is, he has to recognize it. But she knew with her Chachma that in terms of being the Av, and the role of the Av wasn't necessary. The Nevuah that was given to her was significant for her in the role of the Ein. Two different roles. And she knew with her Chochmah that that's precisely the purpose of the Nevuah was for her role. It didn't affect his role as a Rebbe. As a Rebbe, it wouldn't make any difference. That the Av's function would not be impaired by the lack of knowledge. If it would have been, then she would have told him, of course. And that's why Yitzchak did not have to have that realization until the moment that Esav came in later, by Yecharad Yitzchak Charada Gadol Admar. Until that time, it didn't. She stood by, and she saw that there was one point where the information would be important. That was when he was about to give the brach. So that's why she intervened at that moment. But there's no reason to burden an individual with information that just depresses them and that there's no purpose in that information. That's again what I told you before. The idea of today's philosophy and psychology is that everything should be shared is based on an infantile notion because the person can't tolerate the fact that they have some information they don't tell the other person. And I think that's a breach in the relationship. That's a childish notion. On the contrary, if you're a real individual, then you don't have to disclose everything you know to the other person. Okay? And you could use your own chokhmah and determine if this information will just aggravate the other person, make them depressed, and not serve to enhance their life, but on the contrary, to detract from it, then there's no reason to convey that information. And you shouldn't do it. On the contrary, you're being excited of the other person. But you have to be a chacham to distinguish. When she heard the nevuah, she knew this is not Yitzchak. No reason to make him feel bad about this. And so far as the information is important, she knew for herself as an aim, not important for Yitzchak. Doesn't make any difference. So she spared him from the information. She watched cautiously, and then later, when it came to the moment of the brachos, then she knew. The information is important, and she intervened. Even then, she intervened in a way that she didn't just go and tell him, and she probably wouldn't be successful. But she intervened through Yaakov. What she knew at that point was that the main thrust of the energy in Esav is really the instinctual. Esav is very rooted in these people. It doesn't mean he's going to be necessarily their rabbi. Antoninus was a tzaddik. When Antoninus asked Rebbe, he said, am I going to have a place in Olam Haba? So he called the pasuk that says, no, there won't be any sorry to base Esav. He says, that includes me. So Rebbe told him, no, he says, you will be with me in Olam Haba. He says, the pasuk means, Osa might say Esav. Okay? Which means that's the whole Haskachas Miyadus. He could be from Esav. He can have all the temperamental qualities, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a Rasha. Rasha is something else, that's Bechira. He could be directed towards it, but he's not going to be the great Talmud Chacham, he's not going to be the one that carries on the Mesorah, that is not going to be. His energy is essentially a rooted in the instinctual, but it doesn't need to be a Rasha. That's what I'm saying. There's Rav Yavotsoya, because Rav Yavotsoya means that the Tsoya is going to be the main one, and the other one is going to be more a person, an individual of the physical world. Yes. I mean, that's an important thing. You see, God is very hard to grasp, because people are, especially in our society, in the Radic society, everything goes extreme. So if you tell people Chachma, say, oh, you're denying emotions. You know, emotions are the way to guide your life. And now this is a very subtle kind of a system. Not simplistic. But even the greatest person like Avraham, so you can recognize the automation. He was nifter 5 years before, because God knew that this is not going to be, he's not going to be able to have 5 years of nachas. So there's going to be 5 years of tzaras. There's no purpose in having him continue in his life and the compass of his pastor. And there's no purpose to go on. You see also by Avraham Avinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishanah, changed what Sarah said. And Sarah said, Radoni Zotin. So what? Is it too kind of problem? There's an old man. She says, no man. Anything wrong with being an old man? If this is wrong, the age, what is supposed to do? It's not a deeper. Everybody ages. But you see that even Avraham Avinu, emotionally, it's disturbing. The emotion is there. There's no reason to cause a person even the slightest bit of losoni rishus and samisa. It means that when you speak with a person, again, when you speak with a person, could be it's your friend, but you have to be careful. Losoni rishus and samisa. If you say something that even momentarily causes the other person anguish or irritates them, you over it's a lav midaraisa, and you have to. You have to have a chesed on a person. A person has to have a chesed. Even if they're with the friends, you don't say things that cause a person tzar, that cause a person emotional pain. I mean, what Chazal say? Yachon nechach rom in ashuk, yishachon abeinu, but you got in abeinu. The person bought the wrong car, so what do you say? You made a mistake, or you tell him, no, the contrary, it's wonderful, you're ready. It's too late already, that's it. Awesome color, right? The same thing, yeah. I mean, what Aaron is saying is different. Aaron is saying that it could be that to produce two such powerful individuals, there had to be a violation in the regular law of nature in terms of the instinctual, and it had to begin from before. That could be. And Chazal did say, Yaakov was the first of others. There's something unusual there. No, that's what I said before. The high energy level is the same in Yaakov as Esau. Both the same. The only thing is where the energy is being expended. In Yaakov, it's being expended in a sublimated form, in the Lama Chochma. It wasn't just in order to have the Tazir's Hashem, but actually there was a reason for it as well. The idea of a genetic superiority, I mean, Yahadus is something which can be misunderstood, and it's a dangerous idea. It's a dangerous idea, Klapa Yumo Sa'olam, and it's a dangerous idea for us also, if it's not true. It's a false kind of security. But the idea that there are certain traits in the Umar, I do not believe can be separated from the ideological turmoil. In other words, it is not And vice versa, it is not something which is necessarily so. Because, you see, there's a chazal that says that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause Klal Yisrael to go among the Umos? It says in order to retrieve Gerim for Klal Yisrael. So that would seem to be in contradiction to another chazal. It says, Kasim Gerim Yisrael Tashpachas, Gerim are no good. But the answer is obvious. The answer is that there were certain great personalities among the Umos HaOlam that were, because Klal Yisrael failed and there was a Korban HaBayis, so it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's method of recruiting people, great individuals, in order to give the nation new blood and to, on the contrary, to build up the nation. And those were the Gerei Atzarek, Nicholas, and Sarah Hummus, Nicholas Adair, and Shmaya Vavtalion, Rabbi Akiva's father, and Rabbeya's father, and many, many Gerim that were Gedolim, that were really Gedolim Yisrael, or were the progenitors of Gedolim Yisrael. So just so to say that there's a genetic superiority is not really accurate. Not really accurate, because you have the Umos HaOlam, on the contrary, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw Klal Yisrael into Gullus, that in the Makkah, in other words, in the Onish, was really a partial, was a refuah. That because they were among the Umos HaOlam, so certain unusual individuals became aware of Torah and contributed and built the whole system of Torah to a great degree. They were invaluable. I mean, in terms of the Masorah, of course, the guy's invaluable. As also what Uncle did was like the Kriselas and Sinai. So you see that Yehadis doesn't just draw the line and say genetic superiority, which is a simplification, which is really a dangerous one, is not true. And it's also something which gives Jews many times a certain false kind of security. And a sense of superiority which really caters to the worst need on a person, which is his gaiva. So it's a dangerous kind of an idea. It is ideological. I mean, it's ideological. It's a certain ideological. How it works precisely is not easy. Not easy to. But certainly it doesn't. It's not exclusive. That's for sure. It's not exclusive. There is a concept of myself or similar bunt. And there is definitely a transmission. But the vehicle of the transmission is not just the biological. The vehicle of the transmission is the ideological, and that's why there are other human beings that can have it to the fullest. To the fullest. In Israel. Yeah, the Jews that have no Shaychas to Torah, that have some sort of a Shemitz, the truth of the matter is, where is that Shemitz coming from? I mean, where did Albert Einstein get the idea that the main thing in life is to study knowledge and chachma for its own sake and for no other reason, not for money, not for cover, not for anything? Where did he get that from? He didn't get that from if he was, with all the genetics, if he were raised apart from this philosophy of Yahadus, he never had. Of course, he was prone to it. Yeah, he had the makings, and he had the personality, the character was there. But where did it come from, that whole idea? It came from Yehadus. As a matter of fact, he one time said to himself, he said, I'm proud to be a member of a group that understands the idea of learning and studying for its own sake. So you see, where did we get it from? We got it from Yehadus. As assimilated as the family was, that's what got it. And where did the other individuals also? And those Nidos that the Jew has, it's a spin-off from the nucleus of the whole ideology of Yehadus, of Torah. That's what it is. Sometimes it could be a few generations removed, doesn't mean that it's gone. There's still the effects are carried on through generations, and even though the people are assimilated. But where does it come from? It comes from the chorus of the sea, the chorus of Yehadus. Not just simply genetic, not a simple genetic. It's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
What I'm saying basically is the need to share every bit of information is really a result of a weak ego. That's what it is. And Yahadis is not a religion of weakness. It's a religion of gvura, strength. By the way, I want to mention, in conjunction with See, when I said those ideas are dangerous, they're dangerous to the outside world, and all Son of Yisrael always mention that, and they're dangerous to the Jew, more importantly, because they give them a false ego. And you see, Chazon say that the character of the Jew is that when he's learning Torah, he's a Lev HaShemayim, and when he's not, he's below. He's never on the straight line. He's either above or below. And what it means is that's one of the ideals that unfortunately causes the Jew to become lower than the Umos Olam. And that is when he's away from Torah. And he's into the world of Taiva, then on the contrary, then he becomes the biggest Baal Gaiva. Biggest Baal Gaiva, he starts claiming superiority, he's more intelligent, you know, which means to say all those factors which he received as a result of the true ideology of Torah, now he's using Lara, which is just to glorify himself, which is the greatest nivel in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, you have to realize that's why I say those, and that's really what enhances the Sinas Yisrael. I mean, there's no question about it. So that's why I say those ideas are dangerous ideas. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told Kol Yisrael, he told him the opposite. Lo meyuk kami kol amin. He says, why? Because of the shvua of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's not because of you. It's because of the Skosavos. So that's those kind of ideas that we see in the world today, the superiority of the Jew, that's really Vayishma Yishma Vayiva. That's not something that we want to try to reach people with those kind of ideas. I'm saying that, first of all, it only has... I'm saying this. First of all, it's not exclusive. That's number one. It's not exclusive. It doesn't exclude other people. And secondly, it's the only value that those traits have. You see, they're really ideologically transmitted. That's my point. My point is, if you look into the Torah, see, it's a little bit of a deeper idea. Not just the genetic. Genetic doesn't mean anything. You know, today everything is genetic. Genetics can give a person a high IQ. But if a person, if there's someone I read about that has very high IQ, and it's a woman, what does she do? She mows the lawn and she has a garden. What's good IQ? IQ is not what Yahadis looks up to. That this world is the greatest baseball player. You know, when they asked Albert Einstein, they said, aren't you proud that you're so well respected and so well known all over the world? He says, why? Babe Ruth is this is one of my. So that's this society. And if you could do something outstanding, the Guinness World Book of Records, they said it sold more in the next to the Bible as the biggest seller. Okay, because that's the whole psychology and whole philosophy of this door, of this generation. The greatest. And Yahadis doesn't look at me. That's a simplistic, nonsensical attitude. IQ is not the... what is IQ? So a person has high IQ and they do nothing with all their lives. So they watch television. What's the IQ? In Yahadis, it's really, and the Rav used to emphasize this, the main thing is not the, not so much, even in learning, it's not so much the intelligence, it's really the rutzen, it's really the direction of the energy. And you see, in science, it's also that way. Because you take, for instance, a person like Feynman, Richard Feynman, but he didn't have a very high IQ. Okay, I think it was 125, it was only years ago. But he was one of the greatest scientists because he had a desire, a love. He was trained by his father to appreciate Chachma. The Rabbi always emphasized that. The point is, people always look. It's a big mistake that people look at it. They think you can simply quantify everything very simply. You can't quantify human beings so simply. The high IQ doesn't necessarily mean it. More important is the person's drive and energy. I mean, what really the greatest thinkers in the world, the greatest Gedolei Yisrael, I mean, what really brought them through is not so much high IQ, it's the fact that not that the head was so, they had such a high intelligence, but the fact that they didn't sleep at night. That's really, when did the person work out an idea, sir? The person that sleepless nights and they're pondering and pondering, then they come up with an idea. They have a high IQ and you go to sleep, they're not going to help you. The Rutzen is really the Rutzen. It's really the Rutzen. The main thing, and Yahadis always emphasizes that. The main thing, when a person is striving and becoming chacham and everything he accomplishes in life is the direction of the energy. It's the quality. It's not the quantity of the IQ. The higher IQ, lower IQ, that never really made any great person. Any person that was great in any area was because of the tremendous concentration of energy. That's what I mentioned before. The Yehavis emphasizes the concentration of energy, not the number on the IQ. The IQ can't measure these factors anyways. Can IQ measure how a person will be able to work out a concept when he's working for 40 hours on something? I mean, can IQ measure that? IQ doesn't measure these types of things. IQ mentions very quickly, briefly, the superficial functions of the brain. But it doesn't really mention, it doesn't measure the ability of an individual to ponder and to think and to concentrate energies and to work out a problem. You can't measure that in IQ. That's an unknown quality. That's something you can't quantify. But Yehudas emphasizes that. It's a mistake in this generation. It's part of today's philosophy. And the whole idea, you can simply just quantify. Chazal also do recognize that there's certain limitations. I don't want to say, if a person lives for 5 years, and he doesn't have any atzlocha in spite of all the effort, so that's it. He's not going to, he's not going to become a great Talmud Chacham. I mean, we do recognize there is such a thing as a limitation. But that's a rare case. You know, Yadis recognizes it. It's a factor. But that's an unusual case. But in the realm of the normal, usually, it depends upon the person's, like the Rebbe said. Chazal said, in other words, why was one bigger than the other? Not because the spore was different. Our spore was the same. The makabal is different. It's totally the makabal. The makabal is what it's telling. It's not totally in the spore. The same with Bainus Roy. The difference is the makabal. That's good. Let me just mention, somebody asked me a question. Remember this, because I mentioned the point that he raised. The question is, of course, about the Hena Ein of Meros. Okay, why did Yitzchak deserve to become blind? Because he was the good number of years, actually. So he lived 60 years. But anyways, the question is, why did that happen? Okay, so before I start, I want to mention to you, Ibn Ezra says, the question was, what was this whole story in the house? They're looking, Esau had no food in the house. He comes in and he's looking for beans. And what kind of situation was it? What happened to all the wealth of Avraham Avinu? Okay, so Ibn Ezra says that he lost it. Okay, I'm bound to say, I'm not going to go to home, I'll this thing. But Agav Ocha, the Ibn Ezra says, so people ask, why did it happen to him? They lost the money. So he says, maybe he can explain to me why he got blind. That's a question. So why did he get blind? And he says, "Va'al yitchal sana b'kamashal drush." He says, "Don't piss me off with a reed of drush," which means to say, "You know all the drushes you got blind because the malachim, the kedah, and this." He says, "Don't give me that." What does he mean, Ibn Ezra didn't have a disrespect for my Mara Chazal. That's for sure. I mean, you see, for instance, in Yevarim, where he mentions that the face of Yaakov Avinu is chakuk and kisei covered, which is people consider a Kabbalistic notion. And Ibn Ezra says, so guttle, Chazal say this, so guttle. Ibn Ezra, the highest respect for Chazal. It's just modern positions who look at the two authorities in a simple form, try to justify their own thing and say, oh, he just knew this one, he just knew that one, and I'm buying everybody today, just read my reading the paper, they said that there was an earthquake in Israel, and already the Chachmei Kabbalah came out. What's the reason? Because of the archaeological digs, and why happened in a lot? Because there's creatures, and how it all worked out, and actually it would have been worse, but there was foul and stuff. Today's Kabbalists, and of course they think the following shit is Ramban. I mean, the Ramban did not accept the idea of of Sturison was not the Ramban. Ramban was a Kabbalist, a true Kabbalist, not a simple fool. Yeah, the Ramban talks about the problem of novel b'shus atara. And he didn't realize it's the worst problem today. Today's the problem of being a shoka b'shus atara. But anyways, the idea. What the Ibn Ezra was saying was not the concept that he doesn't hold from what Chazal said. But the Ibn Ezra was a certain system. When you learn Chazal, there's a certain way to look at a medrash. When Chazal say Vatechena Einav Meros, and why did he get blind, and they trace it back to the Akedot or something else, it doesn't mean they're saying that's the reason. That's not what they mean to say. You need to say that the Torah is written in a way that you can darshan certain ideas from smichas apsukim, and it's a methodology of uncovering ideas. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you could say that this is definitely why he became blind. I mean, that's not what he's going to say. He became blind, God knows why he became blind. Like Ibn Ezra says, that's not a realm of knowledge. And that already, Avraham Avinu already postulated that. That was the idea. And when it came to how Yitzchak going to be born, the details, the Schav Onish, Avram said, it's not my business, he didn't ask me, So these areas, we don't know Schav Onish. But from Smichas HaPsukim, you could say the Pasuk was there to teach you this idea, so you correlate the fact that you're going to worry about things or different things, to teach you a concept, an idea, but not to say that this is definitely the cause. That's why I have all these different chapters. So Ibn Ezra knew very well what the idea of drush is. But a person that's a simple thing thinks that that's really why I became blind. I mean, we don't know why I became blind. But if the pasuk is a smicha sapashius, so it means you could search for an idea of it. So one of the things that one of the things that they say is that because the Altahe Kirilas Hegel Kalbana. Okay? Because Ahimelech cursed Saul. He said he knew Lochus Inayim, okay, covering of the eyes, and that curse was Mekuyim in Parson and Yitzchak. Okay, what if it's only first of all wasn't Parson? What does that mean of it? What's the idea behind this? What are they trying to teach us of it? So yeah. That's what, by the way, that's called Drush. Drush means the darshan. Doesn't mean reality. It's darshan. Drush. Long idea. So, what it means is like this. You see, what Chazal are teaching you, two things are like. See, first of all, Avimelech, when he said, you know, look, as I said before, on the surface, it doesn't feel as a person. The concept is giving a punish. What it means is like this. What they mean to say is, here you have the situation that saw by Sarah, right, that she lied, and she justifiably so, because she had to save Avram's life, okay? So she told a lie, and the Chazal say that if you take a look carefully, why would such a mention of Avimelech gave her this present as a Chisholm man, so no one should say anything. So Chazal very sharply say the reason is because Avimelech knew he was one, because he took her against the will. Okay, but he saw from the fact that she was dishonest, a dishonest person is always concerned with the way other people think. That's the nature of a dishonest person. Why is a person dishonest? Because the main concern is how other people think. So Avimelech, when he wanted to be Matthias, he wanted to make it up to her. So what did he do? He said, how am I going to, this is what type of a person is this? This is a dishonest person. He was wrong, but he still felt it was a dishonesty there. Okay? So therefore, he said, for a dishonest person, their main concern is how others look at them. So he gave her these matanas as a ksusinayim. Because it's ksusinayim. What Chazal say is like this. Chazal teaches the concept. And even though a person is justified in being dishonest, that there's a certain attraction to deceit. That the very act of being dishonest causes a person to be dishonest. And that's what the Gemara says. About the person who had a wife, But she made 2 menus, and the son switched it, and she always gives me a hugging lot. Sitting small, the son went to the truck and switched it. So what did the father say? No, don't do it. All right, first of all, he said, 13, 14, 12. Yeah, no, 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 totally. He fooled the mother, and he, yeah. So Chazal says, they said, don't do that. That right? Was, when do the son and the person goes, shepherd, so it affects me. It affects the person. It affects me. Apparently, what Chazal was saying was, that the fact that Avimelech gave that present as a cover-up means he looked at her, there was an element really, one part of him was angry at the fact that she was dishonest, and he treated her as a dishonest person. He made it up to her, but still there was that, it was like a color, where it was really a complaint against her, where it was a criticism of her, in a nice way. I mean, a person can be very nice, but underneath the niceness is a critical, there's a critical mode there. That's exactly what Chazal was saying. So Chazal was saying that since when she partook of the deceit, she was attracted to the idea of deceit. Something attractive about being deceit and fooling another person. And she never really did tshuva on that part. A person always thinks of, did I do a chait or not? But a person must always think, not just in terms of the chait, like the Rambam says, not just chataim you have to tshuva about, but it's midas as well. Midas as well. On that midah, she never did tshuva. And because of that, it was transmitted to her offspring, and Rivka, who raised, again, as I said before, the Torah emphasized the fact of the closeness of the mother with Rivka raising, with Sarah, with Sarah, he raised Yitzchak. So in raising Yitzchak, a part of that was transmitted. In other words, that Yitzchak himself, because he was raised by Sarah, somehow or other he was able to be deceitful, not with others, but with himself. And that's why, that's part of the reason, apparently, the Chazal Darshan, that's why he was unable to see through Esau. And that led to, and that's why I have the owners, that the Chena Enoch made Meros. Okay? That was a Mida to make a Mida. In other words, because of the Chet. So you see again the concept, it's interesting. Well, as I said, I mean, Chazal are not saying that that's the cause of the blindness remains unknown, but the psukim are written in a way to darshan the concept, the idea, which means to say that she had a midah that she was attracted to, a midah ra, and even though she did the action, but she didn't chew on the midah, and because it was transmitted to Yitzchak, and that affected his personality, and because of that, he couldn't be honest. And the honesty, you see, it means to say like this, it's even deeper. It means to say that Esav was deceitful. And Yitzchak, somehow, there was always an identification between an Av and a Ben. He identified with Esav. Well, yeah, Yitzchak was inside the fifth, there was an identification. And if the person was removed completely from Sheker, the identification would not have taken place. And could have seen through Esau. So again, you see the same concept that we mentioned before. Over here, it's not the Av as a Rav, but it's the aim, because the aim is really the Rebbe for the trial in terms of the Midas. What you have to say like this, that the idea of Sheker, Limbi Lashonam Sheker means that a person is attracted to deceit itself. There's an attraction to Sheker. What is the attraction to Sheker? Why? There is an attraction to... See, Sheker really means that which is not the real world. And that is not a person by nature. Sheker really is a part of the human's drive. Human drive is always for Sheker. Because reality is something which is very painful. And the person doesn't want to see. And if the person can fool somebody else, there's an additional value in the fact that they feel superior, they fool the other person. But if you notice people, and this is where, of course, this is where you come into the area of business, where Chazal emphasized the honesty in business, people in business, they never heckle to not to tell the truth. Certain cases, you ever heckle not to tell the truth. But the person has to realize that in being dishonest and deceitful, they are endangering themselves insofar as the meat is concerned. That's a separate question. That's a separate question. That person has to do tshuva on that too. Not just if they have been mutter to tell a lie. But if you're attracted to it, you enjoyed it, then insofar as your perfection is concerned, it's a serious defect. You're hired to do tshuva on that as well. So the person has to be careful before they engage in situations. And that's what we're saying about tzohar imenu. That you engage in situations, you was right, but nevertheless, there was something over there that she attracted up to, a certain attraction or something, and she failed to achieve on that. Because of that, her son had this defect and could not see through Ace of Arash. That's basically what they were saying. Okay. Very good. We are Chachashar Lemos. You see that she wrote over there as well. The waiter, you see? The waiter, actually. Yeah, what Mandy's saying is right. By Sarah it says, and you say something else, she's concerned about the way other people look at us. That's correct. Yeah, that's right. It's a midrash of a kabbal schar, which means to say that the idea is definitely true. But can you? But there are many different shaitan. You understand what I'm saying? The Torah is written in a way she's dashing this idea. It's going to be different too. It's not hard to say, it's different. But the idea is true. The gam om nachos is around bonus. So Ramban is the gam omna chosi yi bas ovi achlo bas imi. So Ramban says, imi yodea, mawa is not this is that. What kind of an answer is this? Yeah, I mean, she's my sister, she's married to. What do you mean? That wasn't a problem. I mean, I chose bas ovi la imi. So, right, like a sister. So, but what it means like this. I think what the first time is very deep idea here also is a far as being deceitful, which means to say when you're deceitful to a person, you're stupid. One thing is being understanding something that's the damaged merchandising or anything. So that's already there's an effect. But the idea is that if you tell somebody something that's not true, you're pogea in the very cover of it. Because Odom is Tselem Elokim, and Tselem Elokim is Anis. Shem Elokim Anis. The Tselem Elokim wants to know what the Anus is. Even if there's no ill effects from your lie, the mere fact that you lie to a person is a degradation of the Tselem Elokim. You've given him false information, and that's a degradation to the Adam, because the Tselem Elokim wants Anus. So that's what I've once said. So, three things. I had to tell you a lie from a practical standpoint because I get paid, get killed. I want you to know on an informational level it wasn't really false information. So he removed the idea that he actually told him something which would be a degradation of the Tselem Elokim in terms of just conveying false information. That's why you get that. That's because that's something else. That's because Chazal say sometimes you're caught and you have two midos to work with. One is MS and one is Chesed. Chesed overrides MS. That's what it is. The world is such. We have to know what to do. We have to understand. That's why you need a system of Yahadis that tells what to do. Chesed and MS. So Chesed is more powerful than MS. Better don't hurt the person than to hurt them and telling them I'm respecting and so on. That's the case of that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't matter because the fact is that he never would find out. Okay. One reason, 2 points. Ben Silverstein mentioned the Rashbam says Rivka Heves Yaakov because of the Nevuah. It's a riot to what we're saying. And the Rameen mentioned with regard to the Divra Rashi, which says Anochi, Esav B'charecha, says Anochi, Esav B'charecha, I don't know if the answer is. But what Rashi is really trying to say is that he wasn't Nene from the lie. That's what he's trying to say. Okay.